Welcome to the Good Fiction Podcast. Join us as we continue with Shadow Walker, Chapter 21. With suspicious comments from her parents, Lucy met the knock at the door at 8:30 p.m. She was sharp with excitement, anticipation, and curiosity. She knew it was Martin. Her prediction that he would be not a minute late or a minute early was right on. It was the first time she had been out since getting in trouble. Her curfew was set by the terms of her probation and was 10 p.m. sharp. Her dad made one last attempt to warn her of the consequences of missing the curfew or putting herself in a situation where she would come up positive on her next drug test. A little put out with the way her father approached his warning, Lucy waited to open the front door. "Do you really think I'm that stupid, Dad?" "I don't think you're stupid, honey. I just want you to think about the consequences of messing up the second chance you've been giving." "Dad, please." "Okay, Lucy, I'm putting trust in you tonight. Martin does know you're not supposed to talk to Chrissy, right?" "Yes, Dad," Lucy said. She felt like she was being treated like a 2-year-old when she was sure she had finished. She opened the door, but only enough to allow herself out. Her father was left to sit in his corduroy easy chair, peering over his newspaper in black-rimmed reading glasses. "You're not going to invite me in?" asked Keith as Lucy squeezed through the opening and shut the door behind her. "No, I'm not. Come on." She took him by the hand and led him to his car. "Movie and something to eat?" he asked. Lucy glanced at her watch. "I don't think we have enough time. I've got to be back at 10, you know, curfew." Keith felt a little dumb. He knew about the curfew because Chrissy had the same thing. He just hadn't put it all together in planning to take Lucy out. He slapped his hand to his face. "I know that," he said. He opened the passenger side door of the Suburban he was now driving more than his mother. Lucy was wearing a black shirt that fell to an inch or two above her knees. A white sweater-like top with no sleeves was in stark contrast to her dark hair as it fell neatly down her back. If he had been giving her a ride home from school, he probably wouldn't even have opened the door for her, but this was a date. He helped her up into the truck and shut the door. When he did, even though he was being careful, he whacked her knee with the closing door. She doubled over in pain. He quickly opened the door. "I'm sorry, it's okay, it's okay, really," she said. "Are you sure?" "Yeah, I'll live. I'm sorry." "It's okay, Martin. Come on, let's go." Keith felt like such a klutz. He jogged around to the driver's side and jumped in. Now he bumped his head on the roof of the Suburban. Lucy couldn't hold the laughter in. In fact, she didn't really try much to do so. The laughter at the situation was catching, and Keith was soon to follow. "We better go do something before one of us gets seriously injured," he said jokingly. The comment caused Lucy to laugh even louder and harder. They were having a good time and yet to start the engine. Keith finally got them underway, but they were still laughing. What they were laughing about is the clumsy start to their date. The time situation was going to be a factor. The fact that Keith had no idea where he was going, his plans having been blown now, made the situation even more comical. "Martin, so where are you taking me?" Lucy tried to keep a straight face. Those hazel eyes and gorgeous hair had obtained her lots of dates. She wasn't new to this. and much more comfortable than her date. Okay, I have an idea. How about Starbucks? I'd like a cappuccino and one of those slices of cheesecake with the chocolate on it they have there, she said. It sounded good to Keith, but as Martin, it presented him a problem. He had done a good job learning his way around over the past several weeks. Still, there were places for which he had no idea their location. He racked his brain trying to remember if he had seen a Starbucks. The fact of the matter was that he hadn't. In fact, he hadn't even thought of Starbucks since he had been in Topeka. What was he supposed to do? Lord help me, he prayed. Which one do you want to go to? The words just popped into his head. Now that's what I like, said Lucy. A man that can make a decision. She was joking, of course. I bet you're tired of being driven around all the time, said Keith. You've got that right, she said. You want to drive? You want me to drive? She asked. Well, this is an unusual situation. I'd hate for you to lose your driving skills. I've never driven on a date before. I didn't know if anyone's ever told you this, but usually the guy drives. Lucy was still playful in her tone of voice. No, I'm serious. Keith kept going with it. He pulled off the main street they were on and stopped the car on a quiet street with rows of houses on either side. He put the truck into park and jumped out. Come on, Lucy rolled her eyes and slid over into the driver's seat. Keith jogged around the back of the Suburban and had changed places with her before he had really given himself a chance to think about what he had done. Two Starbucks, please, he blurted out as she pulled into traffic. You still haven't said which one, Martin. He thought he'd been slick. He thought he'd figure out a way to get around the fact that he didn't know where to go. Somehow, from somewhere, the words, the new one, popped into his head. Got it, said Lucy. She glanced at him a little suspiciously, but the look of suspicion didn't last long. He felt that if he kept the appearance of being lost much longer, she was probably going to get more and more suspicious. What was it that she could be suspicious of, though? On the other hand, she had already expressed her feelings of deja vu when talking to him. Then there was the time he told her to quit twirling her hair over the phone. Things would just be much less complicated without that suspicion. They made it to Starbucks before 9 p.m. They had beat the movie crowd. It wasn't crowded, and they were able to order and get a table outside. Despite how awkwardly things were going, both of them were having a good time. Their time together seemed rushed because of the curfew. Keith had liked Lucy that night in Topeka. He liked her now, too, but in a different way. He felt a flood of compassion for her situation. He could also tell that she liked him. It was obvious. Her eyes didn't leave him, and she giggled at everything he said. They waited until the last possible minute to leave their spot. After three cappuccinos each and a shared slice of cheesecake, she locked her arm with his as they walked out to the truck. Oh, yeah? Who? Keith tried to play it cool. I'm not sure. She was at least 6 or 7 inches shorter than him and looking up at him as they walked now. Her eyes were studying him closely. I just can't put my finger on it. I just feel like I know you. Their conversation over coffee had been about nothing, really. They gossiped about people at school. It was stuff like who was going out with who and what they thought about certain teachers, that sort of thing. There hadn't been anything deep at all until now. You've just heard my sister talking about me since you moved here from Topeka. No, she said forcefully. It's not that. It's more than that. Martin turned to face her. She hadn't changed since the day he had seen her sitting on the couch at Tracy's house before that fateful party. He remembered how she had opened the door and let him in the house after first checking with Tracy. As Keith, he had started out as a nobody to her until she jumped in the car with him that night. The events of that night, well, they altered her life forever. As Martin, his interactions with her were affecting her life too. What then? He asked. He was on tricky ground now. He didn't want to lie to her, but telling her he was really Keith wasn't going to work either. He turned to face her. She leaned up against the truck and let go of him. Like I said, I can't put my finger on it. I'll tell you this, though. It's kind of weird.
I'm weird? Keith asked, smiling.
No, silly. This feeling I have. That's what's weird. Well, I really don't know what to say to you about this feeling you have. Once again, God gave Keith the words to say. He used his fingers to make quotation marks around the word feelings. I know, I'm probably making you think I'm weird by bringing this stuff up again. No, I know you're not weird. Then you felt it too, she asked. Now she had him. What would he possibly say to that? She deserved an honest answer to the question. I've experienced deja vu before. It was a lame attempt to dodge the question. Yeah, but do you feel it strongly about me? Do you feel about knowing me the way I feel about you? She pressed even harder now. I believe it's possible that two people can feel that towards each other, he said. Then you do feel it? Well, it's not something that I exactly feel. It's more like something I just can't explain, he said. Lucy was puzzled by his answer. Their time together had pushed the limits of her curfew, though. Keith glanced at his watch and noticed it was almost 10. He drove back to Lucy's house, doing a good job of remembering the 3 or 4 turns necessary to get them there. There wasn't much time for any more conversation about feelings, but yet an awkward moment was yet to come. He walked her to the door. Martin, do you like me? She asked. Her hazel eyes looked deeply into his. Well, of course I like you, Lucy. They both stood there looking at each other. We've all been there. Hey, said Lucy, aren't you going to kiss me goodnight? Now Keith was really stuck, time to dive in. He put his arms around her and kissed her. You didn't feel that, she whispered. Good night, Lucy, he said. His outward appearance was hiding what he was really feeling. She obviously was crushing on him, but he had made things much, much worse by kissing her. It just seemed as if his time there was only going to be temporary. The last thing he wanted to do was hurt anyone while he was there. That was wrong. The vision of that marbled floored room he had had earlier came back into his mind. Shadows were cast. Were they covering him? They seemed to even get darker. What was going on? What made the shadow darker? Had kissing Lucy made the shadow darker? Although the shadow had lifted somewhat, his human emotions were causing the shadow to remain. He could tell that that's what was happening. He sensed it. He felt it. The song on the radio played, "I will choose Christ. I will choose God. I will choose to serve. I give my life. I give my heart to you." Thank you for listening. Join us next time for more Shadow Walker. I'm Rodney Mathers. Goodbye for now.